Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a very festive School for Dumb Women, the podcast where we explain the things you pretend to already know about. Or should we say, you'll pretend to know about.
Stop it.
Y-U-L-E.
Like the log.
Yes, it's our Christmas episode and I am your host woman, beard made out of cotton wool, Hannah Varrell. Joining me is factory recalled Christmas cracker, Alexandra Haddo.
Look, I still don't see the problem with putting actually useful prizes in Christmas crackers. And so what if a few kids drank the miniature bottle of toilet duck?
And coloured festive tights that you bought on a whim, Caroline O'Donoghue.
Thanks, Hannah. I took a risk and now I look like I teach hat making at night.
I was going to say you look like the principal at a finishing school for elves, but I'm too polite.
This week we're talking seasonal trends, Christmas films and reindeer. And because it's Christmas dinner, we have not one but two dumb guests who we've invited to eat an underdone prawn ring on the sofa while we have a panic attack in the kitchen. On with the show!
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Shall we begin with a cracker?
Ooh!
Would you cracker, madame?
Will I?
I could tell I was losing that.
From the moment you pick it up.
Yeah, you do. You may as well not even do them.
Caroline, can we do another one?
Yeah.
Oh, that smells good, isn't it? The burning smell.
Oh, jeez!
You keep losing!
Oh! My joke has fallen to the floor.
Oh, not like you.
Much like my career.
Oh, thank you. Caroline's donated her hat to me.
Pre-assembled jigsaw puzzle. That's the cracker that I bring.
Yeah, if you listen to last year's Christmas episode, every cracker that we open is a pre-assembled jigsaw.
Yes. Right?
So often of the same house.
Are these also Poundland?
They are. They're Poundland near my house. And I noticed that you guys didn't bring anything.
Hey, so I brought mince pies.
I'm gluten-free.
Hey,
you knew that coming in.
Okay, I've got a joke for you.
Very good in your hat, Al.
Thanks, pal.
How'd you do that? How'd you look cute in a
You look
hat?
So cute in it! Fuck you!
Do I?
You do look cute in it.
God, Christmas I do look cute. I've just seen myself.
You look like the girlfriend the lead brings home for Christmas. And it's like, you brought a stranger home? Oh, we love her.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is essentially my life.
She certainly tamed him. But will he tame her?
Mm. I love when you do that. Can you just narrate my life like that? God, I'm cute. Okay. So, Caroline, I'm constantly drawn to you, even though you're not technically good. What are you?
It's because I'm so overexposed.
Oh,
that's why.
Yeah. You're a Jürgen Teller photo? So niche.
Half of the women on Instagram? this week I am doing Hallmark/made-for-TV Christmas films.
Oh.
Not sure what your exposure is to either of those things.
I know the sort of shit ones you mean, but I can't, it's a testament to the fact I can't name you any.
That's oh, shame. I've seen some.
They exist in your memory in a fuzzy sort of VHS wipe kind of way.
Yeah.
But you don't know exactly who you've seen, what you've seen, or why you've seen it.
Yes.
It's a very interesting phenomenon, that whole thing. I was actually guested on a podcast this week called Roast Chestnuts, sort of half brother of the podcast to Alan Maguire.
First cousin,
yeah.
From across the seas.
Yeah, like, you know, the older cousin we quite fancy.
Yeah.
Alan Maguire. he also hosts the podcast Juvenalia. He hosts a sort of a made-for-TV Christmas film review podcast called Roast Chestnuts, which I was on this week, and it made me think, you know, is it strange that we have these like two different categories of Christmas films? obviously we have the top tier, which is, you know, your Muppets Christmas Carol for me, It's a Wonderful Life, like Jingle All the Way, all those ones, which are like, it'll have like a famous actor in it and have a great score and a huge budget. But then we'll have this lower tier of these films that are made for maybe $500,000 over 2 weeks, generally in Vermont, or if it's about some amorphous European royal family, Romania.
Yeah.
I actually went to Romania this year and I was like, oh, I remember this.
Yeah. I've seen this castle before.
I've definitely seen this castle. It's weird. It's like the characters will go to this like amorphous European country called like Galdivia or something.
Oh, like in the Princess Diaries. What is she?
I think they're... Oh, God.
It's not Moldova.
Remember.
That's a real place, isn't
that
it?
That is. But it does sound like a fake place.
Sounds like Genovia. The country in the power.
Genovia.
Princess of Genovia.
It's all like... I think a lot of those ones are basing themselves on like the Princess Diaries a little bit. And yeah, it's always like everyone in the country speaks some like Eastern European accents, but all the family speak with a very refined British accent.
Of course.
It's simply not done here in Genoa. And yeah, and like they have the same kinds of actors, and you know they're not technically good, but they all have like a warm Christmassy vibe. And these films, they do huge business. Like we're in a kind of a world now where at the cinema, a film is made for $150 million, and in order for it to be a success, it has to make $1 billion.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy, and that's sort of like those movies that you used to get in the 90s or the early noughties of like, you know, a small rom-com that didn't cost that much money, but maybe Julia Roberts is in anyway.
Yeah.
That thing, that has totally been erased now, you know, by mainstream movies. So what we have is huge, huge movies and very, very, very low budget movies. Yeah. And it's interesting how Christmas factors into that, because basically the Hallmark Channel just sort of set up, you know, 20 years ago after like one huge company bought another Christian cable network.
Is it Hallmark the same as the cards? Because they do like greetings cards, don't they?
I think it is the same.
It is the same branding and everything, but they don't really have anything to do with each other.
Oh,
it's just that they're both in
it's
charge
kind
of
the same
of
sentiment.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, this is a nice thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a nice thing.
This is a meaningless hug with no pathos.
Yes, totally. And it's like, if you ever read a card or look at a birthday card or a Christmas card, it's like, if you look at the copy, you're like, that means nothing. But it's like, the words are in a right order to create a mood.
Yeah.
And so they've started to sort of do gangbusters, and they've like every single year, Hallmark has like doubled its sort of how many it's created. Like.
Sure. And where are these appearing? These are appearing on the Hallmark Channel. Are they on kind of like terrestrial TV, Netflix, that sort of thing?
Well, so they are mostly the Hallmark Channel, and the Christmas sort of calendar begins in July for Hallmark, where they do a Christmas in July weekend to sell some Hallmark branded ornaments. And then they just do all the Christmas films then. And then from the first day of October to January, it's all Christmas films every day, sometimes several times a day.
Oh, God.
So it's mad. And part of the reason why they make so much money as well is because they do this thing. You know how like American TV, they're mad for ad breaks?
Yes.
They love ad. Like, seriously, it's so hard to watch TV in America. I don't know how they do it.
Every 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. So what they do for Hallmark is that they have 30-second ad breaks, and it's like one very quick ad, and they say it'll come back to you in 30 seconds. So people don't really turn over.
Oh, and they
much.
Just have loads of small ad breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Totally. Which is why often with the Hallmark Christmas film, people restate the plot a lot.
Oh, sure.
So when you're watching them on like Hallmark or whatever, it's like the job of the best friend is be like, I can't believe you're going all the way to Genoa for a baking contest. And then so like obviously Netflix is very good at seeing what other things are doing and aping it. And they've just copied the formula. And now they're doing their own movie, like The Princess Switch and all this one. This is like Vanessa Hudgens big thing. But, you know, don't take my word for any of this. I thought I could ask an expert about it. So I actually asked Alan McGuire to talk to me about all this stuff himself.
Alan McGuire of Juvenalia and Rose Chestnut's fame?
Of that fame, yes! Ah. He's basically a star maker in the Irish podcast world.
Oh.
So take us through, for people who have only maybe watched classic Christmas films like Jingle All the Way or It's a Wonderful Life or whatever, take us through the sort of the main key differences between the two genres, between a made-for-TV Christmas movie and a normal Christmas movie?
So a made-for-TV Christmas movie is not bothered in the slightest of being original, because it doesn't need to attract eyeballs, because you just they notice whoever's going to put on the channel is going to watch what's there. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it follows a very strict formula, and like a recipe, it really depends on the quality of the ingredients. So that's why there's such a huge variance in them. So you'll get same actors come up a lot in them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think in terms of mainstream movies, like Kate Winslet has done her one Christmas film, whereas someone like Lacey Chabert will do 3 Hallmark Christmas movies this year, and then 3 again next year, and 3 last year. So the mainstream ones are like a one-off event, whereas these are just like, I guess, like just part of a continuing, evolving set. If you look at like we've gone back as far as 2003 on the podcast, and they're very different. You can see that they've refined it, and become less concerned with, like, I wouldn't say taste necessarily, but like the Hallmark film does not care about like contemporary aesthetics, really. It will just fill a room full of glowing Christmas decorations, and it will like kick off a little bit of serotonin in your brain, just the glow of all the holly and Christmas and green and gold and red. Whereas like the Family Stone has to keep it a bit tasteful because you need you to look at Sarah Jessica Parker, whereas Hallmark just wants you to just absorb the hit of the Christmas all at one, you know?
Yeah, you're totally right, because like when you're watching the Family Stone, you're there for like Diane Keaton's performance or Sarah Jessica Parker's performance, and like looking at all these actors that you know really well, or like you're encouraged to focus on the story itself or the exactly. plot devices you yeah. never saw coming.
Yeah, because like a Hallmark Christmas film will have maybe one person you know, and then it will just ram the rest of the cast with Canadian supporting actors, because they're all filmed in Vancouver as well, which is where the cheap TV is made. So if you'd ever look at the IMDb's of all the actors in these, they've been in like Supernatural and The X-Files, and every sci-fi show is also up there. So they're all Christmas sci-fi crossover experts.
So Yousef and Jean, because you've watched so many of these movies, you developed a kind of a bingo card system for recognizing the tropes. I was wondering if you could take us through what those tropes are.
Oh yeah, most films will have at least half of these things. So there's a precocious child.
What's the role of the precocious child?
To deliver truths, or if it's the actual main character's child, mm-hmm. it will be a motivating factor in what they do. For instance, in Enchanted Christmas, the child really wants to be in the Christmas pageant, but the main character's ex is teaching the pageant, so that's she brings them together, that kind of thing.
And in The Princess Switch, it's and this is quite typical, the child in that, I mean, it's about Vanessa Hudgens changing places with the princess who happens to look very identical to her. Mm-hmm. And the child who's a friend, the child of her friends, like, sees it straight away because kids get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she sees right through her. And yeah, I mean, The Princess Switch is my favourite film we've done, of the 20 we've done. Mm-hmm. But it is, everybody should have seen True Words straight away in that film. They're all ridiculous films. They don't have Earth logic.
Earth logic.
So they're mostly filmed in Vancouver, that's on there. The female lead tends to have better lighting than everybody else. It's like there's an extra light that they use just for when the camera's on the female lead. Mm-hmm. Normally the best friend has absolutely no inner life whatsoever.
She is there just to like say, girl, you need to get laid, or something equivalent. Just like,
yeah, they will come home to a small town and their best friend will be like, I haven't seen you in 4 years.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you anything about what's happened with me. I just need to know exactly what you think about this new carpenter who lives down the road.
It's very Rory and Lane, isn't it, from the Gilmore Girls?
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Lane plus. Like, some of them have you in less of a life than Lane. And one of them, the best friend, is like at her father's house putting up her father's Christmas decorations, and it's never explained why she's there. She's just so involved in this person's life that she has, like, literally nothing else happening.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, there's also a wise widow or widower, usually, which is usually a parent. Very rarely does someone have two parents in a Hallmark film. Mm. Normally the female lead works in marketing or advertising.
That is interesting, isn't it? Why do you think they always work in marketing or advertising?
I guess it's the kind of creative job where you can get a promotion. And I think it's probably creative adjacent where the writers of these films are.
Yeah.
So they can just about imagine what that's like, but they can't imagine what it's like to work in like insurance or on a building site. So it's like just close enough to what they've done.
Totally. And it's also marketing is the place where you cook up all the Christmas plans to rip people off. And, you know, sometimes the character is very in that world and they see the light, you know.
Mm, oh, totally. Yeah. Like, very often there's a parallel plot to the love plot where there's a promotion plot. Mm. So often the person is like the good capitalist and everybody else is the bad capitalist. Happens quite a lot as well, which is brings us on to the next one. They usually have a capitalist ex who is that person who is all about the money,
right?
And is they're just generally a bad person who look kind of, but not quite, like Luke Wilson. But
oh, yes, yes, grease, I know him.
Kind of a greasy Luke Wilson. the protagonist always loves Christmas. Always.
Oh, yeah.
Huge into it.
Like, just the concept of Christmas and its feelings adjacent to love and togetherness is very much their deal. They're obsessed with it.
Oh, yeah. Like, and the weird thing is, they never seem to put up their Christmas decorations until, like, 3 days before Christmas, because we always see them put up their decorations as, like, a plot point, but it's, like,
yes.
December 21st, which is weird.
If you love Christmas so much, why are you waiting so late?
Yeah. But it's also, like, usually the first or second line of the film is someone saying to them, "You love Christmas, Janine," you know? So, carolers, usually carolers.
Oh, yeah.
A snowball fight, there's always a snowball fight.
Yes, yes, there is.
Yeah, there's a horse-drawn carriage, usually. Anything set outside a city will have a horse-drawn carriage, pretty much. Really good Christmas decorations. The standard is usually very high. Like, in one of the films, it's like the Christmas decorations are a parasite that are growing throughout the film, where everybody's just, like, wrapped in baubles by the end of the film. It's crazy. We call the film, the podcast, Roast Chestnuts, and roast chestnuts do actually feature in quite a lot of them as well. Pride, Prejudice and Mistletoe has a whole section where they bond over roast chestnuts and how good roast chestnuts are, which I think might be because Lacey listened to the podcast last year and put it into her new film for us.
Great, of course. Theory. What other explanation could they be?
Exactly. It's often an awkward family dinner. Usually when one of the leads comes to the other person's house for the first time, they normally get invited along accidentally. And then there's a super awkward family dinner because the lead will have unresolved family stuff.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Like not joining the father's family business.
Exactly.
One of them I've seen.
Super common, yeah. Oh, the female lead will have beautiful and possible hair. Like, they're the only person who still uses hairspray.
Yeah, also curly hair.
There will be like a scene of mild peril lasting no longer than 3 minutes. Like, a child will go missing for like 20 seconds.
A
dog will chase someone, but it will be over very, very quickly because that's all anybody can handle.
Or as in A Christmas Prince, I believe it's somebody's KitchenAid being broken.
Yeah. The work Christmas parties, very common as well.
Work Christmas parties that happen in the office itself.
Yeah.
Where people are just weird, like wearing party hats and sitting on their desks.
Yeah. Or else they do one at like a big ball. So there's one they're ready to do with Secret Santa. And do every bit of the Secret Santa one by one in a ballroom for like 300 people. It seems very impractical. We only see a bit of it because that would be the entire film. Often the secondary characters hook up. So the friend with no inner life and maybe the male lead's friend will have an old shift just before the end.
Oh, lovely.
But the important thing is to save the actual kiss until the very end of the movie. Often the very, very last shot of these films is the kiss. And some of them have very good kisses. Some of them have just head smush kisses. But some of them do actually have quite, like, good kisses, which is surprising because they're quite chaste films. They're super chaste films.
They want to show, like, any sort of vice, it's always, like, they love cake.
They kind of sublimate it all into loving Christmas, I think, mostly.
Yeah.
That's their one vice, is baubles.
It's funny because I think you always go into it with a slight kind of wink and you're like, oh, this is bad, but whatever. And then literally by the second act, you are all in, you know?
Oh, yeah. The amount of them that I've cried at the end of, I am shocked at myself.
Oh, totally. And I cried at the end of A Christmas Prince.
Oh, yeah. I'm quite an easy cry.
Same.
But these ones still.
Well, thank you for taking us through the Hallmark phenomenon. You've definitely, I think a lot of people are a bit curious as to why it's gone from being a fringe thing to being quite a major thing. And I think a lot of that has to do with Netflix kind of co-opting the genre. But do you have any theories yourself why it's gone from being something that mums are into to something that quite a lot of people of different ages and demographics are into?
Oh, I think once Christmas Prince came out last year, that was a huge thing.
Yeah.
I think because the fact that Hallmark did 37 this year, as you probably mentioned, whereas Netflix just did one all of a sudden and everybody watched it once. Mm. So everybody talked about it. Whereas I think now the floodgates have broken a bit, so everybody's realizing everybody does it and tweeting about it. And it's just, you feel a little bit less alone in your love of it now, I think. So I think that's why. I think basically just having one big event, because they're not event movies as a thing, whereas Netflix made one an event movie, which is fair play to them for pulling that off. And now I think everybody is kind of
out of the closet.
Just into it, yeah. Yeah. Super into it, yeah.
Well, thank you, Alan. I think that's a lovely place to leave it. Is there anything you'd like to plug before I leave you go?
I suppose go listen to some episodes of Roast Chestnuts. We're on iTunes and all those places. And the other podcast, Juvenalia, where you've been on 4 times now.
Not always as a subject.
Returned guest.
I love being your fifth Beatle. I enjoy it very much.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you.
I think I love Alan.
You should love
I really
Alan.
I love Alan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice man. Good knowledge of Christmas films.
Lovely voice.
Lovely voice.
I was very chuffed the other day because someone on Twitter, because Alan's wife, her name is Carol Ann. And he often mentions her on the podcast, and people thought they were saying Caroline.
I thought that too.
Oh, I saw that on Twitter or something. Yeah. Like,
people thought I was married.
He speaks very quickly, so he says, "Oh, and I was saying to Caroline," and and you're just sort of like Caroline, Caroline.
So, for anyone on Twitter who thought maybe that me and Alan McGuire were married, sadly, I wish that were the case.
Oh.
And Alan, I'm waiting.
Yeah.
So.
Joke. What happened when the snow girl fell out with the snow boy?
They melted?
No.
Paedophiles.
Cold paedophiles.
Correct. Cold paedophiles. No. She gave him the cold shoulder.
Oh.
I much prefer my dad Jeff's
cold
joke.
Cold paedophiles is going to be my password for everything.
What's the difference between snowmen and snow women?
A misplaced carrot?
Snowballs.
Ah, I see.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Guys, I actually have to nip out and do my Christmas shopping. I'll be back in approximately 4 minutes.
That's how long your Christmas shopping takes you?
Oh, yeah. I just walk into Muji and cram some candles and notebooks into a basket, don't pay for it, and then leave.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Dr. Jane Frail is coming in, and she hates clear plastic storage solutions, so it's probably best that you leave anyway.
Oh, of course she does. Right, okay.
Bye. Get me a candle.
Fine. I'm not paying for it. Get what you want.
I think we should talk about firing Alex.
Oh, God.
Hi, Jane.
Hello, my little round robins. How are we?
Very nice. Happy Christmas to you.
Aren't you looking festive and jolly? Opening the door on the advent calendar a little early, are we?
Jane, you can't just walk in here and call us fat because it's Christmas.
Oh, darling, I don't mean it. I'm just planting the seeds now so you'll buy my new physical wellness DVD in January. It's called Train with Jane, the frailer way to freer fitting fashion.
You know, Jane, as much as I love hearing about your dieting business, I think your PR is...
We don't say diet here. We say physical wellness, dear. I will also accept mindful minimization, or in some cases... constructive dysmorphia.
Well, as much as I love hearing about your constructive dysmorphia, Jane, you are here today to talk to us about mindfulness at Christmas, aren't you?
Yes, Hester. I thought that some of your listeners will be going home for Christmas. And, you know, that can be a really difficult time for a lot of people. Seeing family can be very emotionally charged, very pressured, and it often brings out the worst in us. Often when we see our siblings or our parents, we get trapped in the same old scripts with them because, you know, they still see us as children and they refuse to accept the adults we now are.
Wow, Jane, that's actually really sound, sensible, emotionally healthy advice. Thank you.
Well, Mary, there's a reason they used to call me the heart doctor when I was the guest expert for 3 episodes on Trisha. And let me tell you, it wasn't because of my 3 husbands dying on the operating table during seemingly routine procedures. It's because I know family drama.
So, Jane, do you have any advice for people who are struggling with their families this Christmas?
Well, the key here, dear, is honesty and communication. Let's say you're having a problem with your mother, okay? Maybe she said a few thoughtless things, you've said some things, there's an atmosphere. So you sit that bitch down in a neutral setting and tell her, "Look, Mum, I know you've always been jealous of me, and I know that when I won Miss East Aberdeen in 1983, wearing only some brown lipstick and a tube of fiberglass, you were so sick with envy that you crept into my bed in the night and poured hot tar in my hair, so that when I woke up, not only was my beauty ruined, I also developed a lifelong fear of coal-based substances, which eventually ended my promising career as a lady miner. I know, Mum, you don't need to deny it. But do we need to keep focusing on the years of revenge that followed? Or the fact that I pretended you were dead to the press just so I wouldn't have to invite you to my wedding? Can we not just call it water under the bridge? After all, at the end of the day, it's Christmas, Mum. We're both here, and in many ways, we are all each other has. So, we can glare at each other in total silence until the brandy runs out, or we could put on a ready meal and agree that we're glad that Dad's dead. Eh? What do you say?
So we should be honest with our family then, Jane.
Eh? Oh, yes, love. Just say that and personalise your own details where necessary. But really, I think it's quite a universal experience.
Well, I hope to one day find the strength to confront my mother about the tar that she put in my hair. Thank you, Dr. Jane.
Anytime, dears. Have a great Christmas.
Happy New Year,
yeah,
Jane.
You too.
Yeah. Stay Remember, safe out there.
Dab before you buy.
Can we do another Christmas cracker so maybe I can win this one?
I'm going to have a chocolate Santa.
Okay.
Oh, for God's sake!
Didn't even snap that time.
That's Hannah, you are a loser.
I am cursed.
You are. Okay, hang on.
Oh, how many chimneys does Father Christmas go down?
Oh.
Oh, my vaginal walls?
I was going to say, like, what's the...
No idea.
Stacks. Stacks. Nope. Just says stacks.
Not drunk enough for that to be funny.
No.
So, Hannah, I thought my dog was the horniest animal in December, but apparently I'm wrong.
Yes, you are wrong. Although, you know, Sylvie has the cone now, so surely didn't that bring that down a bit?
No, it's actually made her hornier still.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to ask, can I borrow that cone after she's done with it?
What are you keeping yourself from licking?
What the thing you're thinking of.
Okay. So who is the horniest animal of all?
So initially, I wanted to look at reindeer this week, because I kind of had this idea, I don't know if you did as well, that reindeer weren't actually real.
What?
Did you know?
No, reindeer are real.
They are very real.
Just me?
This isn't one of those, like, don't all our hair slides go missing? No.
No, I think I got confused and I thought, obviously, deer are real. I know that deer are real, but I thought that reindeer were the sort of, like, mythical creature.
You're thinking unicorn to horse.
Yes, right. Exactly.
You're thinking of flying reindeer.
I think I'm thinking of flying reindeer. You're right. I think I didn't realise that reindeer were just a type of deer. Mm. I kind of thought the reindeer were just the ones that pull the sleigh. So they were not real. But they are. They're totally real. And they can't fly. That's the only thing.
Right.
Yeah. And then I looked into reindeer and they're just kind of like a four-legged animal. They're fine.
Good lads. A couple of good lads,
the reindeer. Yeah.
So from there, that was a vast hinterland of nothingness. But then I thought, what about the most famous reindeer? Rudolph.
Yes.
He of the red nose.
And mayor of New York.
What?
No. That was Randolph?
Randolph!
Wasn't it Rudolph Gandolfini? No, that's James Gandolfini.
Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, not the same. Not the same as Rudolph. So for anyone who doesn't know the story, I mean, I'm sure everyone does, but we do have some listeners in, like, you know, China and, like,
Bora Bora.
Do we have listeners in China?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, listeners in China.
Hi, China.
So,
ni hao.
In case anyone doesn't know the story, I'm sure everyone does, but there's an amazing section on Wikipedia called The Story, and it basically just redoes the song, but in a kind of, like, terrible, terrible way. So it goes, "The story chronicles the experiences of Rudolph, a youthful reindeer buck who possesses an unusual, luminous red nose.
Oh.
Mocked and excluded by his peers because of this trait, Rudolph proves himself one Christmas Eve with poor visibility due to inclement weather after Santa Claus catches sight of Rudolph's nose and asks Rudolph to lead his sleigh for the evening. Rudolph agrees and is finally favoured by his fellow reindeer for his heroism and accomplishment."
Wow, it's like a Greek tragedy, isn't it?
Isn't that incredible?
Read by, like, somebody that announces it on the tube, where it's like, "In this inclement weather."
Yes.
Inclement weather!
"Please keep a bottle of water with you at all times."
It's passionate, dun.
So, I thought I'd look into where Rudolph comes from. How old do you think Rudolph is?
Oh.
300 years.
Yeah, I'm guessing that it's, like, because most Christmas traditions are some kind of a German thing, right? Because they love the Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing, like, 1755.
He is only, like, 80 years old.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so he's a 20th century phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
Like Cher.
Yeah.
Probably younger than Cher.
He first appeared in a 1939 booklet written by Robert May and published by Montgomery Ward, which is a department store in Chicago.
Wow.
Oh, fine. So it wasn't written in Germany in 1939.
It wasn't.
Otherwise, Rudolph might be problematic.
At all. No. But when I realised that he was published by a department store, I was kind of like, oh, for God's sake, like Rudolph was a marketing ploy. Mm. Rudolph was made up for money, which it reminded me of, like, you know that thing about Father Christmas wearing red and white?
Yeah,
there's this rumour that, like, yeah, that it's from Coca-Cola, that basically Father Christmas used to wear green and then Coca-Cola got hold of it and were like, no, we want him to wear red,
yeah,
because that's the colour of our brand, and yeah, changed him into kind of what we know him as today.
In fairness, he looks better in red.
He definitely does look better in colour. Red. But apparently that's not true. And I actually, yeah, I know, and I saw that on the Coca-Cola website, they said, yeah, before he was invented, he'd actually been in lots of illustrations and books wearing this red scarlet coat, but his appearance would change quite a lot. Sometimes he was tall, sometimes he was short, sometimes he was like really gaunt, sometimes he was elfin. And actually, the way that Coca-Cola impacted it was that they had this artist called Haddon Sundblom, who painted him as a kind of like, and kind of used himself as a self-portrait, and was like, sure, this can be Father Christmas, I'll just look in the mirror, and da 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 da. And so then that's the kind of like bushy eyebrows and white hair and the beard and the kind of fat and jolly red-cheeked man that we know. It was
but
kind of came
obviously
from...
based on the saint first, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. I'm kind of only talking about like the physical image of him.
Okay, sure.
Also, Coca-Cola would say that.
Yes. Well, this is what they told me.
Personally.
Also, that guy, Haddon Sundblom, painted pinups for calendars.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Kind of pervert.
So that's kind of not such a bad story as I thought it initially was. Initially, I was like, fucking hell. Everything is just capitalist scum. And then, so I came back to like the whole capitalist Rudolph and was like, well, where did he come from? So yeah, he first appeared in this booklet written in 1939. And this guy, Robert May, who wrote the story initially, was actually Jewish, which was interesting considering how Christmassy Rudolph is. Mm. He grew up in a pretty like well-off Jewish home in New York. His parents were hit by the Great Depression in 1929 and lost everything. And so Robert moved to Chicago and took a job as a copywriter for this department store. Mm. And he writes about this time in a newspaper called the Gettysburg Times in 1975. And I really loved the way he worded it. So I'm going to kind of tell you in his own words. Mm-hmm. He said, "An icy January blast tore at my coat as I hurried on my way to work. I noticed that the Christmas street decorations had been taken down, and in a way I was relieved. My wife was suffering from a long illness, and I didn't feel very festive. I was glad to get inside the foyer of the Montgomery Ward building. In the elevator, I leaned back and listened to the younger men eagerly discuss their work. 'And how are you starting the new year?' I glumly asked myself. Here I was, heavily in debt at age 35, still grinding out catalogue copy. Instead of writing the great American novel as I'd once hoped, I was describing men's white shirts. It seemed I'd always been a loser."
Oh. Oh, mate, we've all been there.
I know, isn't that sad?
We've all slept with that guy, haven't we?
We've all slept with that guy who's working on a novel.
Yeah.
So he just kind of was like a poor man with a job.
I'm really imagining Mad Men here, but
totally,
you know?
Yeah. And basically, each year the department store that he worked for would give out a little Christmas book to you know, kids and stuff, and it had a little poem in it or a story and some pictures. It was lovely. And they used to buy them from another company and then give them out for free. So this year, 1939, Robert's boss asks him to write the book to save the money, and he's like, "Yeah, just make it cheery. Maybe put an animal as the star of the book." So this guy, Robert, he's like, okay, well, do you know what? I have a 4-year-old daughter, Barbara. She loves reindeer. So I'm going to make a reindeer the central character of the book.
At that point, had there already been a tradition for reindeer pulling the sleigh?
Yes. Yeah, there was. Yeah.
There just wasn't a lead reindeer.
Yeah. There was not a lead reindeer. There was not a
standout
reindeer.
With a distinguishing facial feature.
Mm. Yes, exactly. They all had the names, you know, Donner and Blitzen and Prancer or whatever. But there wasn't a Rudolph. So he's kind of looking out the window of his office in Chicago, and it's like, you know, early in the year, and there's a big fog from Lake Michigan blocking his view, and he's like, oh, a nose, a bright red nose that would shine through fog like a spotlight. That's how this reindeer is going to be like special and different to all the other ones. And at the time, actually, red noses were heavily associated with drinking, because, you know, if you drink a lot, you kind of get a red nose. So his boss was like, that's a terrible idea. Get out. Can't you do better than that? So he took his friend from the art department, Denver Gillan, to the zoo with his daughter on the weekend. And got him to draw Rudolph and presented the drawing to his boss. And he was like, okay, yeah, great. And he started writing the story. And he says he drew on memories of his own painfully shy childhood when creating the Rudolph stories.
Aww.
I know.
Very sweet.
That's given me a whole new dimension to
I know. And I'm not even done.
Wow.
So in the original story, it's slightly different because how do you know Rudolph? I know Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from the song.
From the song. Yeah. And I'm kind of vaguely but not deeply familiar with the cartoon, the kind of stop motion animation.
Sure,
cartoon.
From like the 60s or whenever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kind of remember it, but it wasn't like a big favourite. Yeah.
So in the original story written by Robert, Rudolph's bullied for his nose, but he's not one of Santa's reindeers. He's just like a regular reindeer who doesn't like
to
live
reindeer.
With Santa at all. And Santa and his sleigh and the reindeer will set off one Christmas Eve and they get on really slowly because it's really foggy. And then he gets to Rudolph's bedroom, which is just like in town. And Rudolph's there asleep.
Rudolph's bedroom?
Yeah. No,
not a stable, his bedroom.
No, he's giving a present to Rudolph.
Right.
And so he looks in his bedroom and sees him asleep, but his nose is shining. And Santa's like, oh, thank God, like this bedroom is well lit because of this guy's nose. And then he's like, oh shit, well, I should get him to help me. So he shakes him awake and is like, excuse me, could you come and lead my sleigh tonight? And Rudolph's like, oh, sure.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you lead my sleigh tonight?
And it was originally written as well in the same form because I kind of thought like, oh, but surely the poem in the booklet was kind of written like surely it was the same as the song. When they did the song, they must have just like put a melody to the words, but it's completely different. And it was actually in the same kind of like poetic form as "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Oh.
So Robert writes up this poem and does some like preliminary drawings and stuff, or gets his mate to do them. And then he ran these verses and chapters of the poem by his daughter Barbara, 4-year-old who loves the reindeer, to make sure that they were entertaining and stuff. And the kind of like, you know, B story to this is that his wife Evelyn, as he wrote in the Gettysburg Times, was quite ill with cancer as he started the book in early 1939. She died in July of that year. And it was obviously really traumatizing. His boss offered to take him off the book assignment and was like, look, I understand. You don't have to complete it. And he was like, no, I need Rudolph now more than ever.
Oh, God. Where is the Hallmark film about this?
God.
So his wife died and he was like, no, I have to carry on this book. He read the final version of the poem to his daughter Barbara and his dead wife's parents.
Oh, God.
Lads.
And then the Rudolph...
This is like the Green Mile.
I know. And then the Rudolph booklet finally came out in 1939 at Christmas, that same year. And he was a massive success. Shoppers absolutely loved him. 2.4 million copies were distributed.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh, but the thing is, I noticed you say distributed and not sold.
Well, of course, yeah, because this...
it was a free booklet, always
intended to
be.
Yeah, they gave
it
out for free, of course. And then a few years later, another 3.6 million copies were distributed.
Who's the loser now?
Well, but also...
That's the thing,
though.
Did
he get any royalties for this? Well, obviously not, because he was a contracted member of staff.
Exactly. So Rudolph was like hitting it big. He was like, a really big time star now of Christmas.
A baller.
But things only got worse for Robert because he was still on his copywriter salary and he was in massive amounts of debt from his wife's medical bills because it's America.
Right.
Chicago, right? And in 1946, a company that wanted to do like a recording, like an audio recording of the poem, contacted him and they were like, oh, can we use it? And he wasn't able to give them approval because the company owned it.
Right, of course.
As
is their right because they...
Of course. Yeah. So he's kind of just like there in poverty.
Surely they gave him a raise or he got some interest from children's publishers or something.
Well, what happened is, in 1947, the company's president gave the copyright rights of the poem to Robert.
That's massive!
Just gave them to him.
Like, Walt Disney wouldn't have done that.
I know,
like...
didn't even sell them to him. His daughter told NPR... that she thinks the bosses of the company did this because they didn't think that Rudolph had any more potential. They just thought like, oh, well, you know, everyone's
seen that now.
We had
our day with it, yeah.
It's done. It doesn't really matter.
Now it's time for Bert, the Christmas chipmunk.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which we'll all be talking about in 50 years.
Yeah. And then in 1947, later that year, I guess, a publishing company put out a new version of the book. It sold loads.
Yeah.
sold so much.
Because I bet at that point there were loads of people who had like remembered it when they were kids, who maybe having kids of their own. They're like, oh, remember that thing?
Yeah, like we'll get one for little
about 8 years later, but there was still like a nostalgia attached to it, for sure. And then, of course, you've got the song. So it was kind of like it was successful already without the song. But then Robert May's brother-in-law, Johnny Marks.
From his late wife.
Well, yeah.
Or from a remarriage.
Johnny Marks, what a cool lad.
I'm not sure. Happened to be a songwriter. He had not had like loads of success or anything. But yeah, Robert May asked him to write a song about Rudolph. And so Johnny Marks wrote this song, the one that we all know so well. And it sold more than 25 million copies.
What?
Which was at the time more records than any other Christmas song, apart from White Christmas.
Wow. Isn't that much? I'm guessing it must have had more verses, because the only one I know is like the first verse. It's like the national anthem, isn't
it? Oh, no, it carries on for ages.
Yeah, ages and ages and ages.
Yeah. Well, fair play.
That's great.
I know. So then what happened to Robert? Well, in 1941, he married another employee of the company that he used to work for, Montgomery Ward.
Oh.
He had five children with her.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
What happened to Barbara? She's on NPR now.
I guess she's fine. yeah. Talks to NPR.
Loaded.
I guess she does okay. And then, yeah, thanks to Rudolph, his family were like totally taken care of financially.
Oh my god.
And he used to call his house the house that Rudolph built.
Oh god,
I love this man.
I know.
I'm sure you've come to this conclusion already by yourself, but the nicest thing about this is that like Rudolph is about like a character that's kind of isolated and not like with the rest of the herd or the gang, and then because of like his unique sort of like gifts is like becomes the leader and becomes the most valuable person.
Exactly. And that's what he loved so much about it. And he said, today children all over the world read and hear about the little deer who started out in life as a loser just as I did, but they learn that when he gave himself for others, his handicap became the very means through which he achieved happiness.
I'm going to write a book.
I'm going to write a book.
You have written a book.
A good one this time.
It was good. Available from all good bookstores. Promising Young Woman.
Thank you. You don't plug me enough on this, I think. Mm. I love that, Hannah. That was a beautiful, lovely
tale.
Heartwarming Christmas tale. Exactly what we needed for the Christmas episode.
Oh, thank you.
And now for some banality.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, Alex, you've taken in the maximum amount of information that you're going to this year or able to this year. Mm. And instead of teaching us a lesson, you've written us a little poem instead.
I have. I have a poem and a game. I have a veritable buffet of fun for you.
Do you do family games at Christmas, you guys?
I try to, but in general, like me and my dad are both competitive to a point where it's not fun.
Yeah. We do family singing. That's more that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, no, everyone sings a song. Everyone just has to. It's the rules. Or if you can't come to Christmas dinner unless you can sing a song.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. So Alex, you're performing a Christmas poem for us. Is that right?
Yes. I wrote this in 7 long minutes for you. Mm-hmm. This poem is called Love at Christmas.
Aww.
And I think it's something we can all relate to.
All you lonely hearts out there in podcast land.
Yeah. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the land, all the creatures were scrolling
through their Instagram. For they knew that tonight was the very last stage where their friends would be single before getting engaged.
Oh.
Oh, savour those selfies and pictures of nice things before your feed is all couples and bespoke diamond rings.
Oh, I'm sad now.
I couldn't believe it. He moved me to tears. Was it a surprise, Sarah? You've been dating 8 years. As the bloke looks embarrassed, the girl contorts her wrist. You obligingly double tap and think, time to get pissed. As the wine oozes through you, your ill will starts shedding until it hits you right then. You'll have to go to the wedding! That's it.
I love
that. That is so good!
Many thanks.
Alex, I want to say there is a large Christmas Santa here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it to the most Christmassy dumb woman. You might win.
No. Yeah.
We're not at the end of the podcast yet, but we're
near
the end.
No, we're not, because I also have Dumb Woman Christmas Bingo.
God, yes. You're Christmassy. Turn
so
me on.
So bingo. So Christmassy. I've had a wine. Okay, so basically you have to...
Hang on. We need to bridge the gap with the cracker.
Oh. Yeah.
Bridge the gap.
There's only one left.
Oh, okay.
Can we all... Three of us.
I'll okay. hold the middle.
Alex, you hold it with me and then maybe
we'll
win.
Oh, yeah, because you're the loser.
Oh, for God's sake.
I have not lost a single cracker. I think it's quite a good omen.
That's because you impressive. Are a cracker.
Oh. I haven't had a hat on yet because my first one exploded on my huge hair.
My hat fell in my wine.
You had two hats on for a bit there. It was real gel. Oh,
I'm still proud of my cute hat and I'm wearing it home. So,
guys... Alex is really rocking the paper hat.
Yeah.
And my head is too thick. I feel like a cowardly lion.
How do you have such a big head?
Trying to put his head into a pillowcase. I just have really thick hair. All right, Christmas bingo. We ran out of booze.
Christmas bingo. So yeah, so you just have to shout
okay. If
this has ever happened to you at Christmas.
Oh, how about the bells? The bells, the bells!
Oh, we have jingle bells.
Yeah. Oh, do we?
Yeah. I totally forgot. They sound sad on their own, don't they?
Yeah, they don't sound as...
Just keep the packet.
Just shout.
You can be the bell.
Okay,
I'll be the raucous bell. Okay. I'm going to choose these at random. An argument about immigration.
Yes.
Yes.
Nobody immigrates to Ireland.
Okay. That's a just cultural divide there.
Okay.
Good. Waiting for a Christmas Day text or call from your crush.
Oh, yeah. That is definitely...
Yeah, every year.
No, but even like I wait for Christmas Day calls from Gavin sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, too busy with your N64, are you?
Going back to your hometown and exclaiming how cheap the booze is.
No, never.
No.
Ireland is fucking expensive and they keep taxing the booze. Sorry, I ate chocolate Santa a while.
Oh, I've been that prick before.
Have you? Mm. My parents live in the suburbs of London.
Oh,
so
yeah,
no
of
chance.
Course. Yeah, I've been known to go home, even though I grew up there for 18 years, and be like, oh my God, it was only £3.70 for a wine. And everyone's like, you're a prick. Which leads me to my next bingo call out, going to your local and being called a snob for moving away from home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, you dropped the ball.
That was a big one.
That is, again, inapplicable to me.
No. Oh.
Sorry, sadly.
Hannah. Hiding in the loo.
Yes, everyone's done that.
Yes.
Surely.
Yes. A relative reacting in horror and confusion when you try to explain what your job is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's actually easier now because people basically understand what a writer is. But for years, I worked in social media.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so, you know adverts that you see in magazines? Like, oh, do you write those? No, I write the ones on Twitter. What's Twitter? You know, magazines.
Yeah.
You just end up re-explaining what a magazine is.
They're like that, but online.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing with being an audio producer is that people be like, oh, what does producing mean? Oh, shoot me.
Caroline, I don't know if this applies to you. I assume it doesn't. Slagging off the Queen's speech.
Oh, we don't watch the Queen's speech.
No, we don't. We slag it off without watching it, which I feel is both hypocritical and fun.
Those sound both those things. We whenever I am spending Christmas in England, my parents all text me, my family text me, oh, I bet you're watching the Queen's speech, are you?
Yeah, no one watches it.
Yeah.
Proddy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we slang off Protestants a lot. I'm actually not sorry because you enslaved us. So.
Yeah, sorry about that. Talking to people your own age in your hometown that somehow own a house.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They're just like, what housing crisis? You know? That happens to me all the time. Oh, we're in a lovely cottage just outside the main town. What?
Yeah.
And you're eight.
You spend about like 10 minutes being like, God, if only I moved home.
Yeah.
And then you realise.
And you're like, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather have stuff happen to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, people who live in their hometowns. You know it's true.
Pulling a guy or girl you went to school with just because you're out on Christmas Eve.
Oh, have I done that? No. Sorry.
No, I have.
Okay.
Good old Pete.
Mostly Christmas Eves for me, people asking each other like, oh my God, I haven't seen you since last Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
Correct.
The same job. Oh.
I've got a couple of suggestions from a good friend of mine here, Jamie Allerton, fan of the podcast.
Lovely. Listener. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Who also suggested having the Black James Bond argument with your family.
Oh, my God. Yes, I had the Black Hermione argument.
Oh, no.
Oh, why do they have to be? Well, what does it matter? It's a fictional character. Well, it's just PC gone mad, isn't it? Well, not really. It's just a character, etc.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, this is what inspired my poem, seeing your ex getting engaged on Instagram as you're eating a donut at 8 a.m.
Ooh, Nelly, where my bells? Where my bells at? Make your heels clack, clack,
ooh,
clack.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, Nelly. I'm actually waiting on my ex getting engaged. I feel like we're kind of in a silent game of chicken, to be honest. Because we're both in serious relationships of fairly long term.
Come on, you can take him, Caroline.
He's got more money than me. You know, he's going to buy a big diamond one of these days, you know?
God damn right he is.
Yeah.
Okay, last couple on Christmas bingo. Staying at a partner's house and hearing a loud 2 a.m. toilet flush.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Also one of Jamie's.
Yeah, that's very good. Jamie, let's get him on the podcast. Very good.
I know. Oh, he's very funny. We definitely should. And then I just put a special one in for me, which because I do stand-up now, I hear approximately every 17 minutes. You can put that in one of your stand-up sets.
Oh, no. Oh. I get the equivalent, which is, you should do a podcast episode about that.
Yeah.
Or you could write a book about that.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, that's my Dumb Women Christmas holiday bingo.
Very good.
That was great.
Good luck to you all in all of your relative, quite literally, Christmas experiences.
Oh, you're twisting the top and not the base. You twist the base, Hannah.
What?
Twist the base.
Hey! Open it like you would open a cock. Twist the base.
Twist the base.
I know.
Of a cock.
Of a cock. That's how you do it, right?
All right. We all have some?
No wonder you're fucking single. It's a great noise off of that. Very good.
Madame?
Yeah, I'm your
CG. Oh, cheers. Yeah. Happy Christmas episode.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yay. Yeah. I wasn't going to drink this week.
Oh, sorry.
It's December. Christmas it's a write-off.
Done. Mm. Now, if you've been listening to our podcast for a little while, you might recognise this merry voice because we've invited trend reporter Lucy Vine to the studio for a much overdue segment of On the Vine with Lucy Vine.
Yeah.
Hi, Lucy.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well.
Yeah.
Oh,
good and Christmassy.
I too am swell. Would you like to ring in your Christmas segment by pulling on those Christmas crackers?
Ooh,
sexy.
Oh.
Oh. I feel like you cheated a bit there.
So Lucy, you've come here today to talk to us about some Christmassy, wintry trends that you've been smelling in the air. How do you find them? Do you kind of?
I'm just a trend genius. I just feel it on the wind, you know.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like radio waves. They just pass through me and enter my brain.
Isn't that what happened to the town there in Brockovich?
Yeah. Trend forecast brought to you by brain cancer.
Yeah. Which is so in right now.
So trending.
All right, hit us with the trends.
Okay, so in at number one, because it is 'tis the season, it's cuffing season.
Woo. What's cuffing?
As I'm rebranding it, muffing season.
Oh, is everyone getting head?
It's about time we had a holiday for the female orgasm.
I know, right? So cuffing season is the time of year when everyone gets a boyfriend just because it's cold outside, you know? And there's nothing else to do with your vagina. So I just, I'm trying really hard to get a boyfriend at the moment. Well, I've got a date tomorrow.
Oh,
have you?
Yeah. Yes. Just some guy from Bumble.
Oh, very nice.
I recently moved to the countryside and I've set my radius on Bumble for like 3 feet.
Right.
Because I just don't want to have to travel, but I've got a pub almost next door, so like loads of people passing through the pub.
Ooh,
brilliant. Yeah, but it's mostly like my brother.
Oh.
And also, it's good cuffing season because you then get to break up with somebody in the spring. It's really fun.
I know. Oh. Yeah, when you get
who
fit
here
again.
Is planning to break up with somebody in the spring?
I'm too deep in now, I think.
Yeah. Well, you can do it. I believe in you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, maybe.
Gavin, if you're listening, prepare yourself. Just, you know, when it gets warm again, it's annoying having somebody heating up your bed.
Totally, it is annoying.
Yeah.
I'm on a really bad period at the moment. I'm really warm, but I need to be covered by a blanket, but also I need to be very cold.
Yeah,
that's horrible. So I just need Gavin to die.
Yeah. Or you could break up with him.
Oh, yeah, that's the
other option.
That's an option.
The lazy girl's version.
So are there like actual stats behind this cuffing? Like, because I'd never really heard of it until this year, actually.
It's totally a thing that I don't have stats for.
Fine.
That's very much the theme of this
but
podcast.
But it's definitely a thing that anecdotally I can tell
you.
Yeah,
I think it is actually. Yeah.
Are you trying to get a boyfriend at the moment, Alex?
I would say what I've done is I dated a guy I was really into very intensely for a while, and that ended in sort of, you know, the end scene of Thelma and Louise.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Sort of like that would have been a nice way to end it, but we went even worse.
Right.
So what I've decided to do is just text everyone I've already slept with and see if they're up for it.
That is a lot easier.
Backsliding.
Yeah.
It's
just really hard having to introduce your vagina to new people.
Yeah, especially in these cold months.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's not looking its best. It's anemic, you know?
It does look anemic.
Could do with some sun.
Yeah.
She's got it out right now and it does look quite poorly.
Yeah. Well, you need to give it some air. Yeah.
So anyway, yes, in at number two for this month's trends is Harry Redknapp. Just because I'm genuinely fascinated. He's become hugely, hugely popular on I'm a Celebrity. Is anyone watching I'm a Celebrity?
Yeah, so like briefly, bits and pieces. Basically, he was a big football manager, right?
Right, yes.
Like one of the biggest.
Yeah.
He's Jamie Redknapp's dad.
He's Jamie Redknapp's dad. Well,
he is. And he retired, a few years ago or something?
Oh, now you're testing
it.
He's
a geezer.
He's a geezer.
Yeah, he's definitely a geezer. But the best thing about him, if you haven't been watching, is that he just has like lived in like Fritzl's basement for 40 years or something, because he knows nothing. Like, he has never heard of Toy Story. He's never done a jigsaw puzzle.
He's never heard
of flossing. He doesn't know who Prince Harry was. He actually met Prince Harry and didn't know who he was.
What?
Oh, that's just okay.
Like,
that's
who
just
is this
ignorance.
Human being? Yeah.
Is that a bit like when men pretend not to know who like Ariana Grande or the Kardashians are? They're like, who's this?
I'm just too cool. Above all that.
I don't know.
Nonsense.
I think Harry Redknapp is probably serious.
Yeah. No, I think he is. I mean, I don't think flossing is on a Kardashian level.
So this is going to air probably after I'm a Celebrity, after the I'm a Celebrity
final. Yeah, but
I'm
pretty sure he's going to win, isn't he?
You think he'll win?
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah, he's got quite the following now.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Although for the last, like, 3 years, it's been these young women, all under 30, who've nailed the challenges and stuff. So it's for me, I think it's Emily Atack. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Or Harry Redknapp.
See, I would have put my money on Noel Emmons because I think he's,
you know, he's already
brilliant.
Out.
But he's out.
First out. He's a scumbag.
Also,
apparently he got
paid 600 grand to do it. He was first out.
Yeah, 10 days, 60 grand a day he made while in the jungle.
Yeah.
He really is such a crazy person.
Oh, I think I was only kind of half watching, so maybe I missed all those bits.
Well, even before that, like, he kept coming out in the last couple of years to say, like,
He's got like a phone line for your cat.
Bad
right?
thoughts give you cancer.
He's very woo woo. Yeah.
He did this whole speech about how women don't poo.
I missed that.
He should listen to Dumb Women more.
He should visit me in my bathroom. Dumb. Yeah.
And then in at number three or one, I don't know.
Is
what
three
we
the best
did.
One? Three's the new one.
Yay!
For Christmas.
Naughty's rom-coms, they're back.
Oh, yes. Great.
So I'm going to spend the next month watching all of Naughty's films because of Ariana Grande's new music video.
Of course. It's
so
good.
Have you watched it?
I have seen it.
Oh, it's so amazing.
You guys, have you seen it?
I like the song, but I don't know. I haven't seen the video yet.
Oh, you need to watch it. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
So she recreates scenes from Mean Girls, Bring It On, and
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde, that's it. And it's just absolutely amazing. She's got stars from like Mean Girls. She's got the boy. You look sexy with your hair pushed back. And she's got, what's her name from Legally Blonde? Paulette.
The one that does the nails in the salon.
Yeah, so she's got actual stars from the films. And this Bend and Snap woman.
Bend and Snap.
Is it Paulette? I want to say Paulette.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've maybe made that up. And also she gets really like sassy about her exes in it. It's amazing. And also Ariana Grande doesn't pronounce it Ariana Grande.
Oh, doesn't she? Oh, sorry.
No. And this was something that I just remembered because she did an interview recently where she said her own name. And
did she pronounce it
wrong? We've all been getting it wrong.
What did she say? Grand?
I think the Ariana is definitely wrong. Ariana part is right, but it's like, I can't remember what she does. It's
Grande.
Like, Grande. It's more like Grande. Oh. I think.
No, that's not very sexy, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ariana Grande.
But
so
if
we've
you
been
guys...
saying cafe and it's actually calf.
Right? Exactly. Gosh, the things you learn on dumb women.
So is she gonna have sparked a whole kind of like 90s revival amongst
Definitely.
The people? Because her generation, like the girls that listen to her music, the young women,
yeah, they
the
won't
young,
know
young
it, will they?
Might not necessarily have seen those films
See,
when they were in
is,
their heyday.
I
totally
this is why
agree.
I'm like, I haven't totally warmed the whole concept yet. So those films are already massive hits. Like I know, like
how
Mean
I
Girls.
Don't need your help, Ariana Grande.
It's like Legally Blonde, Mean Girls. Like I know 12 and 13 year olds who, like my 7 year old niece knows Mean Girls. Do you know what I mean? Like why not have like, you know, Stepmom or something,
yeah.
something everyone's genuinely forgotten, or Head Over Heels with Amanda Potter and Freddie Prinze Jr. You know, what about Freddie Prinze Jr.? Where's
yeah,
his work?
That's fair enough.
Let's bring back
Where
the
is
true
the canon.
Yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr. If it helps, Please. I've been watching a lot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer in the last week for no reason at all.
I don't know how it would help, but it helps.
Yeah. What a weird series of tangents. Sorry. What? Who would you sass if you were going to do a music video?
Oh,
like an
Free,
ex?
Free Willy.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I've got Willy. All these killer whales
sass
here.
Sass Willy.
Sure, why not? He needs a sass. No one sass him.
You're so smart. How come you're in SeaWorld?
Stupid bitch.
Dumb bitch.
Well, I could do my good. Aforementioned Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, oh, perfect.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buy it.
I think I do Schindler's List personally.
Fair, yeah.
Me in the red coat.
Just make it really sexy.
That'd
and
go
funny.
Down well.
Saying thank you next to Liam Neeson.
Yeah. And then running up to save them and then not saving them because
yeah.
they're dicks.
God, this is getting deep.
Yeah, sorry.
No one would say thank you next to Liam Neeson because he is a ride.
That's true.
Surely, yeah. though, if thank you next and the kind of, I guess rom coms is the theme, isn't it? But that kind of counteracts cuffing season. What's she doing? She's not working seasonally.
Oh, no, she's saying Martin. Thank you, Pete Davidson. Next, my Christmas boyfriend.
Oh,
perfect.
Who do you think
exactly.
her Christmas cuff is going to be?
Oh.
Well, in the song she goes, she talks about how her next Christmas cuff is herself.
It's herself. Mm. Isn't that a
I don't
wise,
believe that for a moment.
Yeah.
A beautiful moment
yeah.
where she recognises
yeah,
the
sure.
love she feels for herself.
Wank all you want, but you still want to fuck.
So anyway, those are my trends.
Hooray!
Thank you. Those
Thank
are my
you,
trends
Lucy.
For 2018,
Aww.
Probably.
So I'm
coming
hope
back before New Year.
We all have a Christmas boyfriend and then make a music video about him and then run off
and
with
then
Harry Redknapp.
And fuck Harry
Redknapp.
Yeah. Right, okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Lucy.
I will leave.
Okay, guys. Lucy Vine has left. It's crunch time. Who wins the chocolate Santa?
I think it's Hannah.
Really?
State your case.
Because I brought the feelings with the Rudolph thing?
I just feel like I've learned a lot. I really feel for Robert. I feel like I'm a kindred spirit with him. And
yeah.
one day I'll write my own Rudolph.
I feel like it's you, Alex, because that poem was really funny.
Yes. Oh. I also okay. vote for Alex.
Well, I also wrote the script this week, so...
I mean, Jane Frail... You know, even though I've never
I
met her.
I do book her every week.
Yeah, you do yes, book her every week.
True.
And I've never met her, but that
you
was...
You have to liaise with her PR. It's
that
amazing.
Was yeah. top.
Yeah, sure, I'll vote for you.
I'm going to give it to Alex. I just wanted to be in the running, you know?
Caroline is reluctantly no handing me a chocolate Santa, which I will inevitably share with them both.
Merry Christmas. But he's the biggest one. We only have all these small
Although
Santas.
He is a very good shape.
He's a good shape, you know? He's a nice, you know.
He's a good, snug
He'll fit in there.
Yes.
Wherever there you decide is.
Well, thank you for listening to this special Christmas episode and a Merry, Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you to Alan Maguire of the Juvenalia podcast and Roast Chestnuts podcast fame and to Lucy Vine. Her books Hot Mess and What Fresh Hell are out now and Are We Nearly There Yet is coming out in 2019. Thank you also to Harry Harris for our jingles, Gavin Day for our artwork and Soho Radio Studios for the recording space. We'll be back in the new year. So until then, Merry Christmas!
If we reach 2019, have a good one!
Happy Hanukkah!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.